I'm not fond of figs. We had a fig tree in our backyard when I was growing up. And so we had figs that we could pull off that tree at any time. And I remember having my family having a bowl of figs sitting on our kitchen counter. And I remember having homemade fig preserves on my bread. And maybe it's too much of a good thing, but these days I'll go a long way to avoid having to eat a fig. For someone who is so averse to the fruit, I've spent a lot of time this week thinking about figs. Because in the gospel reading today, we have the story of the man who planted a fig tree in his vineyard. As Jesus tells the parable, this fig tree wasn't bearing any fruit. And so the man wanted to have it cut down, but was convinced to give it a chance to produce for one more year. Have you ever wondered what that fig tree was doing in the vineyard? I mean, it's a vineyard. Vineyards are for growing grapevines, right? And in that time, they would make wine in the vineyards too. So what was a fig tree doing in there? Wouldn't it have taken up valuable space, sucked up valuable water and nutrients from the soil that should have been going to the grapevines? Well, apparently, it was fairly common to have a fig tree in your vineyard. People have been growing figs in that part of the world for a very long time. So here's a fun fig fact. Evidence of figs has been found in an early Neolithic village in the Jericho area of that Jordan Valley, dating all the way back to about 9400 to 9200 BC. And it's thought that their cultivation might just be the very first instance of agriculture. Not only were fig trees common in the area, but they were also commonly planted in vineyards specifically to serve as natural trellises for the grapevines. Fig trees can grow to be 20 to 30 feet tall, I've learned, but you can also prune them so that they will span out a little bit more, not get so tall as they will broad, and their branches are pretty firm to be able to hold up these grapevines. Vines and fig trees are referred to together numerous times in the Hebrew Scriptures. Vineyards, of course, being very often symbolic of the people of Israel. Fig trees and vines and fig trees. So a fig tree in a vineyard served a purpose, at least as a trellis for vines. But why would the owner of the vineyard care whether or not the tree actually produced figs? Wouldn't the tree have served its purpose equally well even if it didn't bear fruit? Apparently not. The parable reveals that the fig tree was absolutely expected to bear fruit. Another fun fig fact. Fig trees will normally produce fruit twice a year in that part of the world. But as many Houstonians know, there are two primary reasons why a fig tree might not bear fruit. It might still be immature. Or it might be getting the wrong quality or quantity of nourishment. Too much water, too little water, too much nitrogen in the soil, or the wrong pH balance. So here's what we have in Jesus' parable of the fig tree. We have a fig tree planted in a vineyard to serve as support for these grapevines and to produce worthy fruit. However, this tree is not producing fruit. Maybe it hasn't matured. Maybe it hasn't been properly nourished. But if it doesn't start producing fruit soon, it will be too late. It's a harsh message. And Luke places it in the context of a whole series of warnings to be prepared, to be alert. In Luke's 12th chapter, the chapter right before this, Jesus tells the story of the rich man who wanted to build bigger barns so that he could hoard more grain and thus store up earthly treasures, but who neglected his relationship with God. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you." Also in the 12th chapter of Luke, Jesus says, "Be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. Be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Get your priorities straight. Be alert. Be ready." There's a sense of urgency as we move into the 13th chapter of Luke, which is what we've heard today. References made to a couple of horrible recent tragedies that apparently had taken place at about that time. We don't know what those were, really, other than what they say in the gospel today. But his listeners are asking Jesus for some kind of response to these tragedies. And Jesus asks them, "Do you think that these things happened to those people because they were worse sinners than anyone else?" No. No. Catastrophes happen. Sometimes we don't have as much time as we thought we'd have to get things right. Let me tell you a story about a fig tree planted in a vineyard. It's there to serve as support for the vines and to produce worthy fruit. However, this tree is not producing fruit. Maybe it hasn't matured. Maybe it hasn't been properly nourished. But if it doesn't start producing fruit soon, it will be too late. Here we are, about a third of the way through Lent. It's a great time to take stock of the fruit we're producing, because clearly, we're expected to live lives that produce good fruit. Clearly, it's imperative that we do so. So, what kind of fruit are you bearing? Does it reveal what you value most? Does it demonstrate the centrality of God in your life? Does its sweetness do justice to God's love? Is it abundant? Can it be clearly recognized by the people around you? Do the things that you say, the things that you do, the things you're known for, the things you'll be remembered by, do these things show the power of God's love in your life? And do these fruits, along with the strength of your branches, serve to support God's vineyard growing all around you? Knowing many of you, I can answer that question with a resounding yes. Individually and as a community, there's a lot of fruit produced in this vineyard. But I think it's also true, because of the kind of people we are, that we also want to do better. Lent might kickstart our renewed effort, but we never really stop, do we? We know that we need to keep maturing. We need to keep nurturing our growth. These days, I serve as a chaplain at Episcopal High School, where I get to work with young women and young men whose roots are spreading and seeking nourishment, and whose limbs are reaching out to embrace their futures. They're at a time in their lives when they have so much potential. They may not know which direction their lives will take them yet, but they have a lifetime ahead of them to produce fruit. Many are already showing good fruit, and others are still growing into the maturity that will allow them to do so. But there at the school, we and their parents hope hope and trust the small things that we do now to tend and encourage their growth will help them produce good fruit. We water and feed them. And sometimes we prune their branches a little bit so that they'll grow stronger. That's the way of things at any age, isn't it? If we want to grow and produce good fruit, we work at it. We might surround ourselves with people and communities that will be positive influences. We might rededicate ourselves to the disciplines of prayer, the study of Scripture. We might practice mindfulness, engage in service. We do what we can to nourish ourselves so that we will mature and be able to bear good fruit. And we also thank our lucky stars for our gardener who cares for us and tends us and helps us to grow. Writing to the church in Corinth about their own growth as a community, Paul once wrote, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." God gives the growth. And with God, all things are possible. Even fig trees that have been slow to bear fruit are ripe with potential. So yeah, I've spent a lot of time thinking about figs this week. I haven't gained any desire to actually eat any, but Jesus' parable of the fig tree has given me a lot of food for thought. My prayer for all of us is that we might take a lesson from it and pay more attention to the fruit we bear and the way in which, along with the strength of our branches, it serves to support God's vineyard growing all around us. Amen.